Welcome back to Samantha Heller's Health and Nutrition Show here on Doctor Radio, Sirius XM 110. We are in the heart of the NYU Langone Medical Center in New York City, celebrating Purple Rain and Earth Day. And for those of you who celebrate, Passover is here, so wishing you all a happy Passover. But right now we want to celebrate Earth Day by getting our homes clean and in as environmentally friendly, healthy way as possible. And to help us do that, joining me, I have Caroline Blazowski. She's coming back to the show. She's America's healthy home expert. She's a certified mold remediator and indoor air quality expert, and she has a background in sustainable design. For 16 years, she's helped people evaluate their homes and improve their living space. Hi, Caroline. Welcome back.
Hi, Samantha. Happy Earth Day.
I know. I love Earth Day.
Yay.
So what are you doing to celebrate Earth Day?
Well, I had an early morning reminder of how powerful Mother Nature is. I was in my bed. It was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got a lovely wasp yellow jacket sting on my big toe. So she reminded me that it was Earth Day and that she's more powerful than I. So it was a nice early reminder.
Wow.
So I'm nursing a bad toe.
Oh, I'm sorry. What state are you in?
I'm in New Jersey. So I had
So they're all getting awake right now. Usually my yellow jackets don't come out until like August.
It was crazy. I've never had a yellow jacket sting before. So it was an interesting way to wake up early in the morning. So
I'm sorry. And how did you know it was a yellow jacket? You actually saw it.
I found it. Yeah. It was moving after it stung me. It was moving quite slow. So I grabbed her and I was like, okay. So, so that was my early reminder that it was Earth Day this morning and that we all need to sort of realize that Mother Nature, is bigger and better and knows better. So we should all do a little bit of, you know, different things. It doesn't have to be planting a tree. If it's too much for you, you can go out and, you know, simply do some things around the house, which we're going to talk about that can, you know, help the environment and then also help you too.
And I also am a big fan of not using pesticides, herbicides, or any sides. I mean, I have I've got 0.14 of an acre. I have a tiny little yard and, you know, I'm seeing my neighbor, the guy's got the backpack of insecticide, herbicide, pesticide on his back and spraying the yard. And I was like, can you just stay away from my fence, please?
That's how I am, too.
I know.
And it's so challenging, especially when you have a neighborhood where people think that the only way to have a really good-looking lawn is to make sure that they, you know, over-pesticide or they feel that that's the only way that they can treat it. And unfortunately, the more you can educate your neighbors, and I've been known to put little notes in their mailboxes, especially where we live. We have a lot of wells and well water, and, you know, obviously you don't want to contaminate your drinking water, which is a big thing right now because of Flint, Michigan. We've heard a lot about water contamination. So it's really important for people to be out there, you know, whether you have city water or you have a well, it's important for you to test your water every 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I should do that. I haven't done that in a lot of years. And, you know, when you see these little cards on little plastic sticks stuck in people's lawns and it's got an outline, a silhouette of a child with a big X through it, like the children aren't allowed to walk on the lawn for X number of hours after they put the pesticides on, that has to tell you something. You're going to have cats and dogs and other animals, you know, crossing that line. And actually in Connecticut, our songbird population has been decreasing because of the insecticides that the insects get poisoned and the birds eat the insects.
Absolutely.
So then the birds get poisoned.
And also bee colonies as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's very distressing. So we want to have an environmentally friendly, healthy, clean home. What is one of the first steps we can do that, this time of year in particular, spring cleaning?
Well, I think there's a couple things, you know, because it's Earth Day, I like to talk about simple things, too, that people can do right now in the moment. You know, if it's too much for you to go plant a tree or to be out, or maybe you have allergies and it's not a great time of year for you. So what can we do in our homes? And I think it's important. Laundry detergent is a big thing with me. I really think, you know, because it's Earth Day, I like to push, you know, some of the agendas that I have.
Oh, absolutely.
I think laundry detergent and converting over to something that is vegetable-based versus being a petroleum-based product is really good. It's a simple change that you can make. We know that studies in Canada have been done where we know that laundry detergent and what it outgasses and the chemicals that come off of dryer vents and things of that nature are really impacting the environment more than we, you know, understand. And so basically a lot of these greenhouse gases and things that we have are being, you know, produced by the chemicals we're using in our laundry detergent. So if you can go to just a scent-free, fragrance-free vegetable-based detergent, it would be phenomenal for not only you and the health of your family and what's coming, you know, out of your laundry and getting into your environment and involves organics, but also for the environment as well and the earth. So to me, that's a huge thing that we can just all change that is really simple and not challenging, and it's not going to really change your life all that much whether you use a vegetable-based or a petroleum-based detergent. You're not going to know the difference, but the planet is and your family is.
So I have to admit, I admit a lot of things to my guests that I don't, so don't tell anybody else this. But when I'm in the grocery store or at BJ's or Target or one of these big box stores and I'm looking at laundry detergent and I want to buy the one that is the most environmentally friendly one, mm-hmm. I don't always know what to look for. I like it when they say phosphate free,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes they have, you know, pictures of flowers and trees and you don't know if it's actually a good thing for you or not. So what do you look for in particular so that you know you're buying a laundry detergent that's environmentally friendly?
Well, the first thing is that anything with fragrance in it is an extra chemical. Mm-hmm. So if you're buying something that has added fragrance or mountain fresh scent or vanilla or even natural scents are all volatile organic. So that's mm-hmm. adding chemicals to your load that you don't need in your home and exposure. I mean, we wear these things on our clothes every day. So you're breathing those chemicals in on a constant, you know, in a constant way. And then also your skin absorbs chemicals and anything you put onto your skin. I just recently had a doctor talk to me about the quickness of how fast the chemicals absorb into your skin. It's within seconds. So if you put a lotion on or you put perfume on or whatever it is that goes directly on your skin, that's absorbed into your body within seconds. I think that's just amazing. I mean, I knew it was quickly, but I never realized it was as fast as mm-hmm. they had made me aware. So I think, you know, if you can reduce some of that, you know, some people do have allergies to vegetable-based detergents, so I'm not always against the petroleum-based detergent. However, if you can remove those scents, I think that's a great way to go. And then you're also, you know, if you obviously if you're going with a more vegetable-based detergent, you're going to be eliminating things, the formaldehydes and the benzenes and the other carcinogens that have been found to be captured in a lot of these gases that come off our laundry. So that's another reason you'd want to go to something more vegetable-based.
How do you know when it's vegetable-based?
There's different companies that are available.
And you're welcome to tell us what they are.
I mean, I like a lot of different things. There's a company called Sun and Earth, and that's sunandearth.com. I like Seventh Generation products.
Oh, yeah, Seventh Generation. I've seen them. I have their laundry detergent.
And that's good. So you're going to be going with a more that's a vegetable-based detergent and much better. You know, and even the companies that make these, you know, vegetable-based detergents do put scents in. And my mm-hmm. concern with that is that anything that is a scent, whether it's lavender, citrus, or a fragrance that is synthetically based, those are all, your body doesn't know the difference between
right.
volatile organics. And
sure.
I think we've talked about this before a little bit, but your body doesn't know. Overabundance is overabundance, so you want to try to limit the amount. That doesn't mean you can't use a scent, but you don't want to use 10 different scents on 10 different things and then apply that all to your body all at once. It's
mm-hmm.
just not healthy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so if you look, and method vegetable-based?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
So the ones that are phosphate-free, vegetable-based, and scent-free, that's what we're looking for.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And you can Google that, and we can probably come up with different brands that are available in different parts of the country. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, you know, there's different companies, like the Honest Company people talk about. You know, they have a lot of great products that try to reduce the amount of chemicals that are in the environment. So, and every day, I mean, there's more and more popping up. There's another company, I think it's called Molly Suds. They have excellent, wonderful, you know, whole different line of detergents, which I, you know, really like. So there's all these little companies now popping up that have all these great detergents, and they're worth trying out to make sure that, one, you're okay with them and you don't have allergies to them, but, two, you're also protecting the environment. It's a win-win. So I don't see it as a, you know, you're helping the environment and you're helping yourself all at the same time.
And what about dryer sheets? You know, those didn't even exist when I was growing up, and now it seems de rigueur every time you do your laundry, you pop in a dryer sheet because those are scented.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that we show is that when we test air and we took air vented from machines using top-selling, you know, typical scented liquid laundry detergent and then the scented dryer sheet, we found that they contained hazardous chemicals. And ones that are included in classifications as carcinogens. So, yes, they're not, to me, that's not something that I would want coming out of my dryer vent and coming into my family. And if you're doing laundry, you're obviously breathing that in. So,
There's unscented dryer sheets, or should we just not use them at all?
I would recommend staying away from them. I would recommend trying to stick to your detergent. You know, and I know some people are concerned about softness, and you can always add a little vinegar if you want your, you know, laundry to be a little softer. You put about a quarter cup to a half a cup of vinegar in with your wash, and it'll actually soften your clothing to make it more palatable to your body and not as dry.
And use like a white vinegar?
Mm-hmm. It's just a white vinegar. Just dump a little in with the laundry as it goes through the cycle. And you can put it in with the rinse cycle. And you know, it's been used on hair. Salons used to use it for hair conditioning, you know, to soften. It's the same principle. Using it in the rinse to kind of, you know, to soften everything up. And if you don't want to use it directly in the rinse cycle, you can just put some in with your actual detergent as well.
I love these tips. Caroline Blazowski, she is America's healthy home expert. We're talking about how to have an environmentally healthy, happy home as we celebrate Earth Day here on Dr. Radio Series XM 110. We are in the heart of the NYU Langone Medical Center. And if you have questions about how to healthify your home in an environmentally friendly way, Caroline is the person with whom to speak. Give us a call, 1-877-NYU-DOCS. That's 1-877-698-3627. So we've got the laundry piece down. What about cleaners, bathroom cleaners? Like, when is it okay to use bleach?
Well, I think I'm okay with people using bleach, you know, inside their toilet bowl. Some people are more concerned about that. I find that hydrogen peroxide works really great. So if you need to, you know, disinfect your toilet, the seat, around the bowl, actually the studies have found that a lot of the actual contamination around the toilet bowl, whether you're at a hotel or you're staying in a convention center or somewhere where there's a community bathroom, is actually around the bottom of the bowl. So, you know, where the bowl sits on the ground, that area in front of the toilet bowl, through studies, has been really, really contaminated with bacteria. So a great hydrogen peroxide, you spray it on. You can spray it on your handles, your faucets, sinks, all of that. You can clean your shower with it. Just let it sit on for a couple of minutes and then wipe it off. It's a great disinfectant. It just breaks down to water and oxygen, H2O, and it's really just it's phenomenal. So hydrogen peroxide, as long as you're not going to take color out of something, if you have to worry about, you know, removing a color, then obviously it has bleaching components to it. But for the most part, phenomenal. I keep a bottle. They now have it in a spray bottle. So, you know, it used to come in the brown, remember
the old brown bottle? Yes, I have a bottle of that, actually.
So now they have the sprays, which are phenomenal. Keep one in your bathroom and just, you know, when you need to, you just spray down the bathroom, spray the toilets, whatever you need, and then just keep it in there.
And it's antibacterial.
Exactly. It works phenomenal, and it's great for cleaning, you know, just as far as not leaving behind any residues, because a lot of these cleaners, like bleach included, they leave behind a residue, which, you know, adds up to this whole chemical load. But what we like about hydrogen peroxide is it breaks down to water and oxygen. There isn't anything left behind. There isn't this, you know, chemical compound or residue that we have to worry about. So it's A-OK and great for bathrooms and sinks, too, kitchen sinks and things of that nature.
What a great idea. I'm having you come over and help me clean my house. Wouldn't that be fun?
I actually like cleaning. I have to admit, I'm a clean freak. It just calms me. When I clean a room and I can walk in and say, hey, I did this, it's a very nice feeling. So I have to. My friends are always trying to recruit me to go clean. But
well, we love that. Yeah, I've been cleaning my house quite a bit. Quick question. In at least where I live, and since I don't live far from you, probably where you live, in another few weeks, as the trees bloom, I get a thin film of green fuzzy stuff all over my house. And it's just the pollen, and because I love having my windows open. Mm-hmm. And I usually just use, you know, a wet rag or a moist sponge to wipe it down with. That's fine, right?
That's fine, yeah. And you want to keep the pollen, you know, because of it. Unfortunately, you just want to keep wiping things more frequently and dusting more frequently because of the fact that, you know, we do get this pollen that happens. And if you are allergic to it, it can really wreak havoc on you. So you want to keep your windows and doors closed this time of year. It's a pretty small window. You know, it's a couple weeks and then we're done with it. So this time of year, you don't want to open your windows and doors because you will get pollen. But you know, usually it's pretty temperature controlled, so we don't have to worry about too much air conditioning or too much heat. So it's nice. But, keep everything closed. wipe things down frequently. If you do get stuff on your around your porch or decking or whatever, you know, you just want to spray it down with some water and rinse it away.
And that's fine. Okay, we have an email for you from Mary in California, and she says, does it make sense that I'm allergic to some of the seventh generation detergents but not others? It seems I am allergic to all, quote, free and clear, unquote, detergents that I have tried, including seventh generation and free and clear, but not Regale seventh generation. The only other detergent I use is Dreft.
Okay.
This is all I've developed as I've gotten older, around mid-30s. I noticed at 39 now, also allergic to many shampoos and other skincare products. I get welts and itchiness. This seems, it says blizzard. I think she probably meant bizarre. What do you think?
Yeah, no. Listen, as we age, one, people develop more allergies because our immune systems become compromised. And if your immune system's compromised from other things, just in general, you can develop allergies. And I've seen people react to everything from natural things, and this is what we were talking about before, to unnatural. So that's why I'm not always against, like, I think there's benefits to people are saying, okay, well, let's get rid of a petroleum laundry detergent. My concern is, you know, people do have allergies to vegetable-based things. So I think you have to have something for everyone. But my concern is when they're laden with extra chemicals that we don't need. You know, we might as well keep them basic and not contaminating the environment and then also contaminating us. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, what she's saying is absolutely, she's not a freak of nature. It happens, and people have allergies to just different vegetable-based things, and just like, you know, people have different food allergies. So she just has to find the one that works for her. She can, you know, that's why I recommend Sun and Earth. I think they make a very good product. They also have a citrus-based laundry detergent, but they also have a regular, you know, an unscented as well. So she might want to just try a different vegetable-based brand and see if she's okay with that.
All right, Mary, I hope you're still listening, and you have your answer from Caroline Blazowski. We have Lynette from North Carolina on the line. Hi, Lynette. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you today?
So my question is, I do a lot of holistic stuff in the house, and organic food, and we're composting, and I try really hard to do things that are good for the environment. But my question is, I can't stand the smell of unscented detergent.
Okay.
So, I know that sounds crazy because there's no smell, but I guess I like scents. So I've gone to very lightly scented, like I use a Trader Joe's, and I'll mix it with an unscented so that at least I have just a slight bit. And recently I've been going completely away from the scented and adding like 2 drops of essential oils, 2 drops of lavender and a drop of lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, my question is, are essential oils as bad for the environment?
Well, essential oils, you just have to be careful because of their potency. In the indoor air quality studies that I've seen, we don't like to see people exposed to more than 15 minutes a day because they're strong and they are volatile organics, just like if I gave you a synthetic fragrance, right? So, like we talked about, the body doesn't know the difference. So I like the first idea of you mixing the detergents a little better than I like you adding the essential oils. But as long as you're staying within like a 15-minute period, like a lot of people do them holistically, they infuse them, they do, you know, all kinds of different things with the oils. As long as you're keeping it around 15 minutes a day, I'm okay with it. And then you have to remember a lot of these things do linger. So if you're using citrus or lavender or pine or, you know, whatever you're using, they stay in the air, and then you can easily over inundate yourself accidentally and not realize that you're actually making the indoor environment worse. So just, you know, stay around the 15-minute rule, and I think you'll be all right.
Okay.
Great. All right.
Lynette, thanks so much for calling and listening to us here at Dr. Radio. Speaking of scent, and this, I'm not sure if this is actually off topic. What about incense? People burn incense in their homes.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So
okay.
And incense is very, very powerful.
Yeah.
So when we look, when I study, so if I test somebody's home, I'm looking at their total volatile organics, which are their VOCs.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things come up, personal care products. And what you have to realize, everything that you're storing in your home, whether it's nail polish, acetone, hair products, hair dye, whatever it is, those things, you think you have it in a bottle and you have it in the closet and it's contained, but it's not. They're leaching all the time. So everything that you're bringing in your environment is constantly outgassing. So you want to be really careful not to store a lot of things. Like if you're using your shampoo and you're using, you know, your toothpaste, deodorant, whatever, that's great. But then you don't want to store a lot. And women have this problem. We like to have 5 different shampoos or 10 different conditioners. And unfortunately, it's a really bad habit, and it adds to your total volatile organic load in a home. So we like you to be With me, I like to see under 500 volatile organics when I take an air sample of about 2,000 square feet. But a lot of homes are actually coming in, you know, 1,500, 2,000, 3,000, and especially if they're storing things like gasoline and products. And I wanted to get into that a little bit about things you can do.
Go right ahead.
So, you know, when you're storing all these things in your home, your garage is attached, you have, you know, you're cooking in the home, you have all these personal care products, you have, some people store mothballs, some people do dry cleaning, some people have pesticides like you talked about. These all add up. And when they do, they basically, you know, can suppress the immune system and make it very hard for the body to work properly because you've got to clear all these chemicals. So we want to try to, when we test through our company, we try to look at the number of what you're exposed to, and then we give you ideas of, okay, this can be eliminated, this can be eliminated, this can be eliminated, to get you to a safe level. Because otherwise, these things are invisible. It's not something you see every day, and you don't realize a paint can that you're storing in your basement is outgassing paint continuously. It's, once you open that paint can, it's never sealed. So that, those volatile organics are coming out, and you're breathing in paint every day when you don't need to be. So it's really important to check these things. And this month, I was in the AARP bulletin for people who are old enough to be in AARP or just be a member. You know, I belong to AARP, and I'm not at the age yet. But you can, they have the bulletin out this April edition. It's wonderful. And they talk about 99 great ways to make your home healthier and safer. I was one of the leading experts in the country that donated information to the article. And it's really great for people if they go on the website and just pick it up.
Yeah.
A lot of great tips. I mean, really great. 6 pages of all kinds of different tips and things people can do to help start making their homes healthier.
So AARP April edition, check out Tips for a Healthier Home.
Yep. It's the cover story, 99 great ways to make your home healthier and safer. And it's in the AARP bulletin this month, the April edition.
Well, that sounds fabulous. And Caroline, we've got just a few minutes left. Give us your website so people can go. I know last time you heard we talked about when you're just looking for a home, we need to get the air tested, you need to get the water tested, and you have a company that does that.
Correct.
Just share your website with us.
The company is My Healthy Home, and you can find us at either healthyhomeexpert.com or myhealthyhome.info. Either one will take us to us, or you can Google My Healthy Home or Healthy Home Expert and we'll come up. So it's real easy to get to us, and those are for people who are looking to test their home, people who may have health issues that are looking to find answers. We work with physicians, we work with home inspectors, so if you're looking to find out, you know, how healthy is your house, then just give us a call.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you gave the tip of when you are house hunting, you know, if you think you're going to buy a house, have it tested before you choose to buy the house, which of course I didn't know. And I think I get the radon tested. I think that you're supposed to do that, but a lot of people don't know to get the water and the air tested.
Well, the water, I mean, to me, there's a couple things when you're purchasing a home that you really want to do. Water is the first thing. You know, there's certain things you can't change. Once you get into that home, those are going to be very costly items to repair or to fix if you have an issue, or you won't be able to fix them at all. So water needs to be tested prior to buying a home. You know, in different states have different laws. In New Jersey, if you have a well, you know, the homeowner is required to test it for the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
You also have mold issue. You must test for mold. It's not a requirement, but across this country, it is. If you are going to buy a property, I insist that you mold test it before you purchase it, even sometimes before. Like, we're looking for a house currently, and I do a lot of things before I ever put a bid in on the house. And
mm-hmm.
And I think that's the right way to do it. I mean, why go through the bidding process if you're going to come up with something that you don't want? So as much as I can do ahead of time, know what the house is built with, you know, figure out if it's got a Tyvek system, if it's got vinyl, if it has brick, wood, stone, whatever it is, and then also test the water and test for mold. Those are, like, imperative. You know?
We need to clone you. We all need you with us all the time.
Because it's really important. And
yeah.
People don't. The way we purchase homes in this country is really backwards to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you're going to do yourself a major favor. Test water, test for mold, test for radon. Make sure that these things that aren't easily changeable can be, you know, that are checked out before you purchase and you know what you're getting yourself into.
That's such great advice. Caroline Blazovsky, she is known as America's Healthy Home Expert. You can find her online at Healthy Home Expert. You can Google that. She has a website. They have a company that can send out kits and help you test for some of these things as well. And she also offers advice. Thank you so much for joining me. You did a great job, and happy Earth Day to you.
Thank you, guys. Happy Earth Day.
Thank you. And, folks, it is the weekend. Please take care of yourself. Enjoy Earth Day. day, go out and buy some unscented vegetable-based laundry products. Get some of those extra scents out of your home. That's such a great idea. Get some exercise, drink some fluid, take a deep breath, be as kind and respectful to yourself and others as you can, and have a lovely weekend.
Imagine sending your firstborn.